The Brad Sessmatt Show, broadcasting live from the Skyview Network studios.
It's good Wednesday. Thanks for being with us. We will have Rob Likens, former Arizona State offensive coordinator, with us today on Brandon Ayuk. When did Rob Likens first see Ayuk? What was his initial reaction? He's been talking with NFL scouts. What happened at Arizona State with Rob Likens and how it ended? He is now the wide receivers coach at the U. He's at Miami of Florida. He will Skype with us coming up in about 12 minutes, Rob Likens. Kerry Taylor is going to jump on board today at 10:35. So I can go back to Kerry Taylor when he was at Hamilton and remember that he was one of the best players that I would see on the football field. He had 22 touchdowns in his career at Hamilton. And he went on to Arizona State. He went through the NFL. He goes to Arcadia. He leaves Arcadia, and he's taking on a new challenge. But along the way, there's been people that have been very concerned about Kerry Taylor and the coaching profession, and even people that coached him that said he needs to slow down, grow up. And so I think it's just time to have a conversation with him. I have not had this conversation with him. I don't know. He might hang up on me. I don't know. But I'm going to be pretty direct with him about where are you going and, you know, and all that. And he's going to Santan Charter. So, and there's nothing wrong with that. I just want to talk to Kerry about where he is. So our opening comments are brought to you by Sagicor Now. Sagicor Now. Protect what matters most. I tell you guys every day about life insurance. And I hear from you on occasion about, yes, I logged on. I can see that you actually logged on and got a policy through Sports 360 AZ. It's cool. But I want you to just look at your situation. You may be that guy that's just starting to think about maybe having a family or maybe thinking about saying I do. Or maybe you've gone through things in life and you just haven't taken care of your life insurance. Get it handled, okay? Protect what matters most. If you weren't here tomorrow, would everything be handled the way that it needs to be? And that's at Sagicor Now. Sagicor Now, get your free quote at Sagicor Now. Eric is with us, and day before the draft, are you a draft guy or a live sports guy? Which would you prefer to be happening right now? Because we have a documentary that's creating a huge amount of buzz. We have a selection of football players in basements tomorrow night, but we don't have live games. If you had your choice, which way would you go?
Depends on the sport. This is a great time for live sports because it's the NBA playoffs and the NHL playoffs, two of my favorite postseasons. I don't watch a ton of NHL regular season, and I don't watch a ton of NBA regular season. But the draft is cool because, Brad, the draft just reminds me of college football, and I love college football, so I'd have to cite with the draft.
You go with the draft. So for me, I would much rather have a baseball game on tonight and a basketball game on tonight. And I think that if the Coyotes had made the playoffs, full disclosure, if the Coyotes aren't in, if a hometown team isn't in it, especially in hockey, I'm just not as apt to watch. The draft for me, and I understand I'm not the demo. The demo that ESPN wants is 18 to 34-year-old males. Sorry to be all business on you guys, but that's how it works. If you're older than that, you really, you know, it's fine, but they want the young. And I get that this is a kid that is able to overcome adversity. A kid like Chase Young, okay? Everybody's talked about the top pick in the draft and what that's going to look like with Joe Burrow, but they really haven't talked about Chase Young. Here's a guy that grew up in Maryland, and Washington is looking at taking him. And so there's going to be this pressure on him at number two, if in fact they go that direction, for him to be the hometown hero kid that came home to save the day for a franchise that's just flat not good. Okay, I like that. The Tua thing. Every year you have to find a guy. Is he going to drop? Is he going to, these poor quarterbacks? We have to find that story. I think for the Cardinals, Eric, it's going to be pretty much meh. DeAndre Hopkins was the draft, right? I mean, if they took a skill player, I'd be shocked if they took a skill player.
I would be shocked, but there are still whispers that if Jerry Jeudy is there at their pick, the Cardinals could take that wide receiver. But I agree with you. I mean, they need help on the offensive line. They need help on the defensive line. Ed Werder reminded you during his interview yesterday that Kyler Murray got sacked 48 times last year.
Right.
48 times.
Right.
I don't know. In terms of if I'd rather watch the draft or a sporting event, like there's 160 some odd baseball games a year. There's only one NFL draft and it's only 3 days out of the year. But I don't like hype. And now we're getting to the point where it's like, let's just get to the draft. Yeah, We've seen all the different storylines. Yes. Let's just get to tomorrow night.
Well, okay, so on the offensive line, there's three really good tackles. And Becton is the one that if I'm to believe mock drafts, and I usually don't, I just think it's people throwing darts, but there's people whose opinions I do respect. Becton is the guy from Louisville. If you guys didn't hear over the weekend, it came out that he tested positive at the combine. So where the Cardinals are, do they look at that as a red flag? Because marijuana in this recent collective bargaining agreement was included, is that just kind of like, so what? The kid is 6'7", 360. Or you've got Trent Williams with the Redskins who's sitting out there. They're trying to trade him. He's a 6- or 7-time Pro Bowl player. Could you say, you know what, Steve, go for it and just go get the established player, plug him in there, outside of taking a tackle at 8 and trying to develop him? If you take Jerry Jeudy, is the offensive line still good enough, Eric?
No. And I would like Trent Williams if the price was right.
Right.
Because he's now like, I wouldn't say he's in his prime. He's probably a little bit past his prime. But like you said, he's established. Like, there's no guessing game. It's not going to be Robert Kimdiche. It's not going to be DJ Humphreys. It's not going to be some of the other, first-rounders that Keim has picked that have been okay to not good.
Not good. Kimdiche was just flat awful.
Yeah.
I think it's going to be uneventful in that they're going to take a player. They're going to hold up the jersey. They're going to say, we were really surprised that he was there. This is the guy that we wanted all along. This is the guy that all of our scouts love. We're going to hear all of that. Okay. It's kind of the joke of, I would love a draft where a GM just looked in the camera and says, man, are we bleeped. We couldn't get out of our own way. And we crapped the bed on this, because there was a time where you would get GMs afterwards, not the day of, but like in the week or 2 weeks afterwards. And they're like, yeah, this guy we took in the fourth round, he's just a train wreck. We had a huge fight. We had to get a pick in. He may work out. And then he's cut. They're not ever going to do that in this day and age. And this will be the draft where, we just didn't have enough time to evaluate. And if we would have known. And so all these GMs are going to go for a mulligan this year on this deal.
I know we got to get the break, but I want to share one quick story from this morning. I was watching SportsCenter and they were doing a feature on kind of what Ed Werder talked to you about yesterday, some of like the potential landmines that the NFL draft's going to have on the technology side.
Yeah.
And Matt Berry was interviewing one of their reporters in the field talking about like the technology issue, and her shot went out. It just like froze for like 5 or 6 seconds. And then they went back to Matt Berry and he said something like, well, let's hope this isn't a precursor to this weekend. So kind of funny.
Well, I think that's what, for us in the business, like selecting the name of the player, that's one thing. But if there's any faux pas, if a GM leaves his mic open and says something that he shouldn't say, I'm actually hoping for a little bit of that, because look, here's the other side of it. We could be in Vegas today. We were supposed to be in Vegas today. We were supposed to be doing a show today from South Point with our buddy Jimmy Vaccaro, because tomorrow night was the draft. And we were there. Rooms were taken care of. Everything was done. Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. We would have gone to Vegas with hundreds of thousands of fans. Dudes with hats on backwards, hammered, having a great time. And the players were supposed to be brought out on a boat. That's how they were going to do it, out where the waterfalls are, the water cannons. And all that stuff.
Right.
And so I'm kind of okay with it being in a basement. I'm kind of okay with it just being down and dirty. Because look, where we are right now, having a big palatial broadcast in the NFL saying, look at all of us. Well, you can't do that with social distancing. You just can't. So on the other side, what about two Arizona State players, Brandon Ayuk and Eno Benjamin? Rob Likens coached them the last few years, or in Brandon's case, the 1 year, and Rob will join us next via Skype from Miami. He is now the wide receiver coach at the Hurricanes. Also going to talk to him about ASU and how things worked out for him in this past season, what happened. That is all next. Stay with us. All right, let's take a deeper dive into the draft tomorrow and on the Arizona State end of things with two players in particular. And when I was looking around at who could talk about these two players, we've had Herm on a few weeks back, but of course, Rob Likens came to mind. And we just wanted to get caught up with Rob anyways. He's now at Miami. He is at the U. He is the wide receivers coach. And he joins us via Skype with a big old grin on your face. It looks like things are going well for you at Miami of Florida.
Yeah, it's going great. You know, when I started my coaching career, you know, the U was like one of the best football programs out there. And I just remember when I was a coach at Temple and we were in the Big East, back when the Big East was really rolling. And we used to play Miami every year. And it was the years they were either one or number two in the country. And I just remember how, you know, as a young man, how cool it would be to coach there. And, you know, I ended up doing it. Might be a little bit older in my life, in my career, but I'm getting a chance to do it, and I'm very excited.
What was the attraction, Rob, of going to Miami?
The offense that we're about to run, we're going to run the spread, no huddle, fast tempo, and I've always felt that with the athletes out here, it kind of really fit their personality, and they haven't done it really in a long time. And since I think Dennis Erickson was here, and when I talked to Rhett Lashley, the offensive coordinator who recently, you know, got hired right before I did, and we just started talking about what it could be like, and we felt like it was going to be a great opportunity for both of us.
What was the deciding factor? Because I'm sure you had other opportunities out there. What was the deciding factor?
Yeah, I had opportunities to be an offensive coordinator and to keep that going. But when I talked to Manny Diaz, the head coach, and, you know, his just philosophy of staff and staff unity, I'm a foxhole guy, man. I love jumping in a foxhole with a bunch of other guys, and I got their back and they got my back. And man, I'll go to war with guys like that. And I could tell instantly that he was the same type of personality, and he kind of got a coaching staff together with that same personality. I just wanted to be a part of it.
Rob Likens with us. When you look back on your Arizona State run, Rob, what strikes you most about your time at ASU?
You know, I thought we did, you know, trying to be careful with the words that I use, but I thought we did a good job, man. I thought we did. We set our team up for success in the future. I could go into detail about that. But, you know, my first year as offensive coordinator, I thought we did a really good job of running the football. We took advantage of what we had. And I felt that, the season didn't start out last year the way that all of us wanted to. But, you know, that's what happens when you start a true freshman quarterback. And I thought towards the end of the year, you know, we scored 30 points or more in five conference games, you know, and I thought we did a pretty good job. You know, I do a study on stuff like that at the end of the year. You look at Georgia, you know, they won 12 games. They scored 30 points or more in one conference game last year. All right, so and I thought we did that five times, you know, with a true freshman quarterback and a bunch of freshmen out there. And I understand, you know, university wanted to go in another direction, but I'm very proud of the job that we did. And I think we laid the foundation for future success there for Arizona State.
Good stuff there. Let's turn our attention to the draft with Rob Likens. And that would be, when you talk about Brandon Ayuk, what jumps out most about him? Because I'm hearing he could go as high as the Eagles in the 20s. On draft day tomorrow, Brandon Ayuk, walk me through when you first met him. Are you surprised where he is? What jumps out at you about him?
Absolutely. You know, when we were recruiting him, he was ranked the 1,720th best player in the United States. How about that stat, right? Okay, on one of the recruiting deals. And I went up to his junior college during the season, and I watched him practice. Billy Napier was the offensive coordinator at the time. And I went and watched him practice, and the very first thing that he did on the first rep is he caught a tunnel screen, the same one he caught against Oregon up at Oregon. Remember that on fourth down where we scored? Same screen, and he took it 60 yards to the house. And I remember I immediately got on the phone and I said, "Coach, this guy is a baller." And I looked around and I was like, "Is somebody playing a joke on me? Because this guy's not being heavily recruited." And I thought he was amazing. Like, I thought he was a great player. He had great potential. And that's when I first saw him. And then another great thing about Brandon, his shows his passion for football. He would go against the first team defense at practice. And then when he would play scout team wide receiver as well. He never wanted to come off of the field ever. He loves football and passionate. And those are the kind of guys you know that are going to end up being successful when they have the talent and then they have the passion and love for the game.
I'm sure you've heard from NFL people leading up to the draft about, tell me a little bit more about Aiyuk. What is it you tell them? What is it you want to emphasize?
That the number one, the love for the game. Okay, so he has those intangibles outside of the, you know, the physical ability that you can see. But he has, to me, to be a great receiver, especially in the league, you know, the average outside receiver, starting outside receiver in the league is 6'5" and 205 pounds. And that is almost like, that is Brandon Aiyuk's size. They're looking for guys that can move laterally really quick because you've got to be able to get off press coverage. And so that's going to be the number one thing that they're looking for. Obviously, the hands and all of that stuff. But the thing that Brandon can do that probably set him a little bit apart from when N'Keal came out was Brandon could take like a glance post or a slant, and he could take it 80 yards to the house, and he's not going to, you know, not going to get caught from behind.
Rob Likens with us for a couple of minutes as we talk about the draft tomorrow and a couple of the ASU players. Eno Benjamin, what did you see? What do you hear? Tell me about Eno from your view and being the OC here.
Yeah. Running backs are a little bit different because, you know, running backs, man, that is people don't realize how grueling that is on your body as a running back. So, you know, I thought Eno made the right decision to come out early. You know, he had, you know, got two really good years in and be able to come out because, I mean, your body, it'll take a toll on your body playing running back. One thing, and plus the type of player that Eno is, and this is why I offered him when I saw him when he was in the ninth grade, was to me, he runs the ball like Walter Payton used to run the football. Like when he wants to finish the run, like he's looking to inflict some form of physical pain on another human being before he hits the ground. And that's what I love about him. And that's what all the teams are going to love about him. And he can catch the ball coming out of the backfield. All right. And then I think when they talk to him, like me and you are doing, when they interview him, he's going to stand out above the rest because he's a very intelligent, well-spoken, articulate kid.
I can't ask you to predict specifically where they're going to go, but do you have an idea in talking with coaches and talking with scouts and all the buildup rounds or teams in either Brandon or Eno's case?
Yeah. Now, not Eno, because I haven't been getting very many calls about Eno, but I've talked to a lot of pro coaches and scouts about Brandon because obviously they, you know, my background in coaching receivers. I have talked to several guys. Most of the people that I've talked to, he's in the top five of all wide receivers in the draft. That's what I'm getting from most everybody. I've talked to two teams that said they would draft him in the first round. That, you know, he was definitely a possibility. So my thought would be a late first, a real early second for Brandon is, you know, what I would think, you know, guarding all the information that I had.
That's good stuff. It's good stuff. Good to see you. It looks like things are going well down there. Stay in touch, and we appreciate the visit and insight.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you, man. Take care.
There's Rob Likens with us via Skype from down in Miami with the draft tomorrow on the ASU players. Sports360AZ.com. I'm Brad Sussmat. All right, the next voice you hear scored 22 touchdowns in his career at Hamilton High School. And I would stand on the sidelines. This is back when I was at Channel 3, and I'd say, man, this kid's going to be really good. And there are a lot of guys at Hamilton. I was talking with Mark Tucker the other day, who's going to the National Football Foundation as their distinguished coach, the Frank Cush Award winner is Mark Tucker, their longtime offensive line coach. And Tuck and I would talk through the years about players, and he would ask me about Kerry, and he'd have some thoughts on Kerry. The next voice you're hearing was just Kerry Taylor. And I know this to be true, that with Kerry Taylor taking the job at Santan Charter, which came out yesterday, there are a lot of people that are going to watch what he is going to do there in the coaching world, because they have said he has immense amount of talent. Can he just harness it all in? Well, since Kerry Taylor left Arcadia, become a dad, correct, Kerry?
Yes, sir.
And you bought a house?
Yep. Moved out to Queen Creek last year.
And now you're taking on a new job. So I appreciate you coming on, first and foremost. I just wanted to see how you're doing, because you've had a lot that has gone on in your world, not just in the last 6 months with life change, with child and house. But yeah, you take this job. So how are things?
Things are great. You know, like you said, I had my first son 2 months ago. Been busy with him, man. He has so much energy, and it's just, you know, awesome when he finally sleeps a little bit so I can get some work done. But wife and I are great. Like I said, moved out to Queen Creek last month, something closer to home so I can spend more time with the family, and just it being in Gilbert, you know, close to where I grew up, and, you know, just knowing the area and the community. And, you know, I think it'll be something that can definitely build pretty quickly at Santan. So I'm excited to get started. You know, I think we have a great foundation in place already, and just hoping I can take that to the next level.
All right, so let's go back here. When you left Arcadia, did you even have an idea that Santan Charter would be on your radar?
Yeah, so, you know, it was a school that, you know, not too many people really knew about. And I mean, I didn't really know too much about it early on. The assistant principal had reached out to me. He's someone I worked with before, you know, wanted to set up a meeting with the superintendent, and I met with the superintendent back in February and kind of put some pieces in place of what we thought, you know, could be a great fit. You know, they wanted to build a football program, and, you know, we had the same visions and, you know, saw the same goals ahead, and, you know, came to an agreement and, you know, figured out how we can take this football program to the next level. So, you know, I'm excited to work with a great administration, you know, people that see the importance of football, you know, not only for the school, but for the community. They help on the map, you know. I told them, anyone that didn't know Santan Charter, you know, last week is definitely going to know about them this week and moving forward. So, just like I said, excited to get started and help this school grow.
Kerry Taylor with us for a couple of minutes. He's now the new football coach at Santan Charter. There's a lot of people that have never heard of Santan Charter. I don't mean this in any disrespect, right? But where is it? What division? What was the attraction?
Yeah, so, I mean, it's a new school. I think they've only had 4 football seasons so far. They've won the Charter League Championship the 2 out of the last 3 years. The school is growing. We're moving up to the AIA next year. We'll be competing in the 2A conference. I see that being a short stint in 2A and moving up quickly to play up at the higher levels. So it's going to be a process growing. But what I've seen the last probably 12 to 14 hours is, you know, with the amount of, you know, people contacting me and, you know, congratulating me on this position, this school, I think it's going to grow here pretty quick. But the school's in Gilbert, you know, it's right off of Power and Elliott. It's, you know, pretty centrally located to, you know, Chandler, Gilbert, Mesa, Queen Creek. You know, it taps into all those areas. So it's a prime location. And, you know, the school has room to expand. And I know they're looking to, you know, make the school bigger and keep growing. So, you know, hopefully we can create a new football tradition there. And, you know, really build the program and the school up and, you know, give the community and the state something to be proud about.
Are you any different as a coach today than you were when you left Arcadia? I mean, you had some time to reflect. You've had a change in life. You've had a lot go on. I've seen you on the field for years, all the way back to high school, and you had a huge amount of talent. Coaches get into it, and then they change a little bit along the way. Are you any different taking this job than you were at Arcadia?
Yeah, I think you know, every year you adapt and, you know, you learn different things. You work with different people. You know, going into Arcadia, that was my first time, you know, being a head coach at a major program. years under my belt of being a head coach. So going into this situation now, you know, I feel like I have more experience to bring to Santan. You know, I, like I said, have, you know, a couple of years under my belt, so I know what to expect more. You know, you learn more of the ins and outs of the behind the scenes stuff, you know, the fundraising, the dealing with, you know, communicate with teachers, all those different things to, you know, help make the program go. And, you know, every year I'm always looking to, you know, gain more knowledge and be better at my job and my craft, and, you know, continue to put other great coaches around me on my staff, and, you know, just make it the best culture and experience for these kids.
Before I get you out of here, when you look at a kid today at Santan Charter, and I saw a tweet from you earlier about you're going to reach out to them and meet with each one of them individually, what are they getting? You know, I mean, what is it you're telling those kids today when you meet with them?
So first off, I just want to, you know, get to know them as people. You know, I want to get to know them, their families, the backgrounds that they come from, the goals that they have in place. You know, I want to know what's important to them in life. And, you know, the more I can know them as the player off the field, then I can want to get to know them, you know, obviously to prepare them for life. You know, I'm able to do that through football. But I want to make sure when they, you know, come into my program and leave my program, they're a different person, you know, a more mature adult ready for the next step, whether that be college or whatever they choose to do after high school. But just to make sure that they're becoming, you know, good people, you know, future good parents, and themselves as good citizens, you know, around the state. So obviously going to help them with football as well, you know, teach them the techniques that they need to learn and how to be successful on the football field. And, you know, whatever they need from me, I'm like a, you know, a second father figure, you know, for them, and they can reach out to me at any time. So I'm just excited to get to meet them and, you know, start talking with them and help them reach their goals.
That's good stuff. That's good stuff. I'm happy you're back in coaching. I mean, Kerry, you're polarizing in a good way. It's a compliment. You're a polarizing name in the coaching circles, and yet you've done a lot for kids. When you were at Arcadia, there wasn't a kid there that you weren't talking about or trying to get interest in or trying to make better. And I'm just really fascinated that you went this route in a good way, because you're going to build something in a, I'm out here in the Southeast Valley. It is the wild, wild west out here. You know it. I know it. There's kids all over the place, and there's kids looking to jump here and jump there or stay at a place. So I'm really looking forward to seeing how you do over there.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate it. Like you said, there's a ton of kids, and I'll be happy with whatever kids I get to coach and, you know, make those kids better. So, you know, it's going to be a great experience for any kid that's in the program, and we'll put a good product on the field as well.
Stay well. Appreciate the visit. Thanks.
Thank you. Appreciate you having me.
You got it. There's Kerry Taylor, head coach over at Santan Charter. You know what? I would see Kerry and Jarrell Robinson and, well, I go through names and not to sit here and date and wax poetically, but I mean, Kerry had it. And then he was at ASU and he had his time at ASU and then went into the NFL. And I think when he was over at Arcadia, I would hear from people saying, man, he's trying to sell us on all these kids. Well, there's a line. There's a line, and there are some coaches whose opinions I really respect that said he's going to learn that line. He's going to dial it in. He's very inexperienced right now as being a head coach. And what I heard there was someone who's, yeah, I need to rely on my assistants and everything, and I hope it works out for him. I really do. That'll be a good story to follow for sure. All right, on the other side, Gronk and the draft and a few other things going on in the sports world. That's next. Okay, a few other things. So tomorrow, being draft day, we'll have the Football AZ show on Fox Sports Arizona on the stream. We're going to be very active tomorrow night as the draft is progressing on all of our platforms and our personal platforms too, whether it's Brad, Eric, Jordan, Devin, Sandy, all five of us have various ways we're going to be involved in the draft tomorrow night. So make sure you follow all of us. It's at Sandy Charles. It's at Devin Henry. At Eric Sorensen, at Jordan Hamm, at Brad Sismat, or 360. All right. So we're going to do that. That'll be tomorrow night. Friday, we usually put the Football AZ show on the stream. Friday, we'll have a live show. to react to everything that has gone down. I think tomorrow night, what I'm most looking forward to is the adapting that will take place. The adapting meaning how all the GMs work and coaches work, and to see that side of it, that will be interesting. It's a very nice distraction, okay? In the last week, and I started to write on this, and I stop, start. In the last week, I have sensed that there's many people that want to get back to what they call normalcy. In sports, somehow, some way, is trying to do the same thing, and it's an absolute unequivocal mistake, in my opinion, to try to get back as quickly as possible to normalcy. If we don't have a football season, if we don't have a baseball season, if we don't have a basketball season, but all of this is eliminated and put behind us as best as possible, and a vaccine is found. And if you're not one that vaccinates, you're going to disagree with me anyways. But if there's a way to get this, so the canary in the coal mine is going to be golf. Golf has said that they are coming back on June 11th. And when they come back, and I'm all about golf. I'm not very good, but I love doing it. It's been mentally cleansing for me in the midst of all this to get outside, to walk around, to see beauty, to focus, concentrate, try and hit it off of this, hit it off that, or just hit the ball, right? So, but golf is the first one that said they're coming back. If there's any problems with golf, then there's going to be problems with baseball. And there's going to be problems with college football. And there's going to be problems with the NFL and the NBA and the NHL. If you can't get through the virus and you can't get through the social distancing when you have a foursome and they have their caddies, and if you break it up to twosomes and they all practice social distancing, but you still have a huge support group that is around the PGA Tour. You still have people that have to keep the scores and work behind the scenes and the TV crews and all that stuff. So I think that there's still some issues there with golf. But golf, guys, if you're not someone who likes golf, you need to root for golf. If you like sports, golf is the first one. They are the one that said, we are coming back on June 11th. Okay, very clearly. The PGA Championship, one of the majors, is to be played in August. If that event is not played, then we are sitting here not having anything. So you have to root for these sports that say we're coming back, and you do have to hold your breath every morning and say, oh boy, I hope there is not a outbreak over here or that there's been something that's gone back on this space, because the idea of playing college football on January 1st is picking up more and more momentum. If the January 1st date happens, let's just say golf does well. If golf does well, does that mean on August 1st, all of a sudden football is back in space? I don't see it. Because nobody is saying that there's a vaccine. The FDA today said the vaccine's probably next March. So it's not even about fans. It's how do you take a group of football players, put them in a locker room, have them go through workouts, have a quarterback put his hand under a center's butt, all the sweating and dripping and blood and everything that's going on, how do you do that? And if you're one of those that says, well, there's going to be some casualties anyways, then please turn this off. If you're all about kids going down and getting sick just so you can have your blessed little game, are you serious? Are you hearing yourself when you think that way? And I've seen that now where people are wanting to go out and protest. It's a bigger rant here, but they want to go out and they want to protest. Okay, knock yourself out. If that's what you're about, I wear a mask wherever I go. I've got an aging mother. My wife's got an aging parents too, and like in their late 80s. And so we're out and we're masked up. We don't want this to continue on. I have a high school kid. I want my son to be able to play his sports this coming year, but I don't want to do it with there being a risk of infection or coming back and have it be 10 times worse, just so we can hurry back. It feels like there's this hurry back to sports mentality. No, that doesn't need to happen. Tomorrow night's fine. It's a draft. It's something to take your mind off of everything. But if you're sitting here on July 1st saying, oh my gosh, what are we going to do? Maybe being in January is the best time to get everything back up and restarted. Maybe. maybe a vaccination is able to happen in late November. The idea, I saw where Stanford now is saying they're not going to start classes until January. Well, if you're not going to start classes until January at Stanford, then you're not playing football until January, because the college presidents have already said, we aren't playing until we go back to school. Not, well, my calendar says we have to play. Man, I cannot wait for Alabama-Auburn in November. Well, it's not happening. It's not happening as it stands right now. So please just be patient on sports. I don't get where people are saying we have to immediately just flip the switch and everything is back and this is a conspiracy deal. People are dying. They're not dying in the biggest numbers that you think or I think, but they're dying nonetheless. One is too many. All right? I feel much better now. Jared Nielsen's our chairman of the board. Eric Sorensen is always senior executive vice president of Nothing or Everything. These home shows, technically we make it through. We appreciate you hanging in there with us day in and day out, and we'll head over to the web and work on some of our content now. Have a great day.